the Parsha starts off with a very historic event. Moshe Rabbeinu was the first person in recorded history to receive unsolicited advice from his father-in-law, Yisro. And in an unprecedented manner, he listens to him. Okay, I exaggerated the second point a bit. But what happened? Yisro sees Moshe is the sole judge of the Jewish people. From morning until night, he sits there. And anyone who needs judgment, anyone who needs to know what the word of God is, they line up. And person after person, they ask Moshe, and he answers for them. And Yisro sees this, and he says to him, Lo tov hadavar asher ata oseh. It's not right what you're doing. Why? Navol tavol gam ata gam ha'am hazeh asher imach. You're going to wear yourself out. You and the entire nation. Ki kaved mimcha hadavar. It's very heavy what you've taken on yourself. Lo suchal asu levadecha. You're not able to do it alone. One person simply cannot do everything. So instead, he suggested to him that he make a tiered system. All of the easier cases will go to the lower level courts. And the more difficult cases will go to the higher level courts. And the most difficult cases, those will go to Moshe Rabbeinu himself. But Yisro says, don't just listen to me. Get the approval of a Kadosh Baruch Hu first. And once Hashem approves, so that's exactly what he did. But who did Yisro tell Moshe to assign to those lower courts? Who are the people that should judge the nation? He says, "Va'atzad tekazem v'kol ha'am anshe chayil yirei elukim anshe emesone batzav." You should seek from among all of the people, all of the capable people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who despise corruption. V'samta alehem, sari alafim, sari maos, sari chamishim, sari asaros. And you should set upon the nation those men as to be the officers over the thousands, over the hundreds, over the fifties, and over the tens. And if I were giving the criteria of what the judges of the Jewish people would be, I don't think this is the criteria I would choose. I would say they should be a chacham, they should be wise, they should be navon, they should be understanding. I would say all these things. Why God-fearing? Why trustworthy? Why despising corruption? How can we understand these criteria? How can we understand what Yisro is trying to tell Moshe? Rabbeinu Bachaya, the 14th century commentator, says that this shows us the centrality of having a refined character. Of having good midos. They have to be more than just wise. They have to be refined. They have to be trustworthy. They have to be people we look up to, who we'd hope to emulate. And if you survey some of the major characters in Chumash, they're not praised for their wisdom. They're not praised for their knowledge. What are they praised for? Their midos. Noach is referred to Noach ish tzadik tamim haya. Noach, he was righteous, he was complete. Yaakov is spoken about as being an ish tam. Also, as being a complete person, a refined person. And Moshe Rabbeinu, the one who received the Torah on Har Sinai, the one who taught the Torah to all of Klal Yisrael, how is he remembered? He remembered as being Anav Ma'od, as being very humble, the most humble person to ever live. And all of this is to teach us that all of one's learning, all of one's wisdom, is meant to help develop a refined character. It's meant to help us work on our mitos. To be people that others want to emulate. To be people that others look up to. The Gra, the Vilna Gaon, says that the purpose of life is for one to work on their mitos. And he calls this a constant obligation that we have. Each and every day, each and every second. When we're learning, when we're working, whatever we're doing, when we're with our family, our friends, whoever it is, we're supposed to be working to better ourselves. To refine that which has yet to be refined. And based on his words, we could say that the basis for everything that a person does should be focused on fixing one's character. On growing. On attaining more. Someone once quoted to me in the name of Moshe Feinstein, who was the leading rabbi in America in the 1900s, that the reason the first Gemara children learn should be from Seder Nezikin, which talks about damages, and not Seder Moed, which talks about the holidays and all the things that we consider to be the most relevant on a daily basis, on a day-to-day basis, is to impress upon them the importance of being honest and upright when it comes to dealing with others' property. If we only learn Seder Mode, we only know how what's expected upon us for Shabbos, for Yontif, what we can do, what we can't do, what we can make, what we can't make. But when we learn Seder Nezikin, when we learn about damages, we learn that there's other people's property, and I have to be just as careful with it as I do with my own. Last year, I was a teacher in a middle school, and as a middle school student, you randomly get days off. But as a middle school teacher, those days are actually professional development days. Days where everyone comes to school, and you have different sessions, different meetings to work on different aspects to try to grow, try to make yourselves better, to make the school better. And one of the professional development days, one of the presentations that we had was a speaker who came to talk about the impact that we're making on our students. And the speaker asked teachers in the room to describe their teachers growing up. And as people reflected on their teachers, as people described those teachers, they referred to them as nice, as warm, as friendly, as welcoming, as inviting. And his point to us was that the students are going to remember how you made them feel. Because how you made them feel is the basis of all learning. As Theodore Roosevelt once said, nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. Because once a person feels that connection with you, once they feel that they can relate to you, then they feel like they can learn from you. And to take it a step further, this plays a major role in knowledge and acquiring knowledge. Because having role models, having people you want to emulate, pushes you further, pushes you to reach for more. We have people who we look up to and who we respect, people who make us feel loved, make us feel important, and those are the people we want to learn from. Therefore, their impact is the most lasting. And even if we can't recall the exact content that we learned from them on the exact day in the exact place, undoubtedly, we learned a lot from them. Because they made us feel safe. And once they make us feel safe, once they make us feel like we want to strive for more, then the potential is unlimited. And so Moshe Rabbeinu is tasked not simply with appointing judges who would judge accurately. Obviously, they needed to judge accurately. They were the judges of Klal Yisrael. We wouldn't expect anything less from them. But also, he was tasked with appointing judges who would be listened to. Because if no one listened to them, no one took their words seriously, then what would the point of the whole system be? Therefore, they needed to be God-fearing. They needed to be trustworthy, to despise corruption. And we can read all this back into the suggestion that Yisro told to Moshe. Ve'ata tekazem kol ha'am anshe chayil yirei elokim anshe emes toni batza. You should seek out from among the people not simply capable men, but also men who fear God, are trustworthy men, who despise corruption. The goal is not simply to judge cases, but it was to have the maximum positive impact possible. And we tend to get caught up, we in the 21st century tend to get caught up in degrees, in titles, in accomplishments. And I'm not saying that stuff's not important. It's very important. I'm very proud of the things that I've accomplished. I'm very proud of the degrees I have. But while those things are important, they mean nothing if we're not able to relay what we know in a way that will be meaningful and impactful. Thank you so much for joining me. Have a great afternoon.